Today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verse 24-43, and it can be found on page 979 of the Pew Bibles. Or the Bibles on the chairs, we haven't got pews, sorry. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Julie. Well, we are not necessarily going to work our way through the passage as such. We're going through the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to use these verses to teach us about the kingdom of God and the nature of the kingdom of God. Today, we're going to be looking at your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. So let's pray before we start. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your kingdom. Oh Lord, help us this morning to learn how to pray for your kingdom to come. Lord, help us to be refreshed. Help us to be engaged. And help the kingdom of God become a reality upon our lives and our prayers. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the word kingdom brings with it a little bit of baggage these days. We can just think it's a little bit outdated, a little bit too medieval, and we don't really use it in our language, do we? Even when we're away on holiday, maybe some of you are brave enough to go abroad this year, and people ask you where you're from. I mean, you might say the UK, but I mean, you've got to be very patriotic, haven't you, to say I'm from the United Kingdom. It just sounds, we don't really say kingdom. The word kingdom isn't in our language. It's a little bit old-fashioned these days, sadly. Or on the other hand, it might seem a little bit too far-fetched, a little bit too Disney. Yeah, so we've got what have we got in Disney? We've got the kingdom of Agrabah, the kingdom of Atlantica, the kingdom of Oz, the kingdom of Enchantica. In a film which I believe is Tom Rose's all-time favourite film and unashamedly Tangled, apparently there is a kingdom called Corona. Is that right? Corona? I mean, I'm guessing that's not the kingdom we're all dreaming of this year, is it? But it might just seem a little bit far-fetched. But although the word kingdom may, to some of us, seem outdated or far-fetched, maybe not in our everyday lingo, the word kingdom for the Christian should be something that is in date. It should be something that's close to us. It should be something that's in our lingo, in our speech, and in our life, and our prayers. Because Christian, you are part of the greatest kingdom imaginable. You're in a real, actual kingdom, a kingdom that makes all other kingdoms, even the United Kingdom, look shabby. A kingdom where there is life, hope, security, wealth, safety, provision, assurance, purpose, love, peace, salvation, and eternal joy. All because in our kingdom there is a perfectly righteous, good, and perfect king called Jesus, who this morning is going to teach us to pray, "Your kingdom come." When you pray, pray like this: "Your kingdom come." Well, what is the kingdom of God? Now, if we were to, put simply, the kingdom of God is this: the rule and reign of God over his people in his creation. The rule and reign of God over his people in his creation. That's the kingdom of God through Jesus. Now, if we were to have a mountain view top of the Bible, we would see the kingdom of God take different forms. So if we were to trace through the storyline of the Bible, the kingdom of God would look different at different times. Now, I'm not going to do that, an in-depth Bible overview. Don't worry about that. There is a book called God's Big Picture. I thought I had it. I don't know where it's gone. I think I've lent it someone. So if you're listening and I've lent it, yeah, bring it back. If you don't bring it back, I will find you. I will find you, okay? I will hunt you down. So it's up to you how you want this to go. But bring it back. And it shows us that in the beginning, there in chapters 1 and 2, there is paradise. There's bliss, a perfect kingdom. And that one day, there is perfect unity and harmony, and everything was good. And as we read in Genesis, it was really, really good. Until we humans, Adam and Eve, we stupidly and utterly ruined everything when we decided to go our own way, turn our back on God. And ever since then, the kingdom has been somewhat perished. So what we then see in the storyline of the Bible, and the question that we want to be asking ourselves is when are we going back to the start? When is everything going to be made right again? And so what we see is all these different people rising and falling. We're asking the question, is this the point where we're going to go back to the start? Is this the point where we're going to go back to the start? And then someone else arrives. Is this the one that's going to bring the kingdom? By the time we get to the Old Testament, all seems lost. The promises of God are hanging on by a thread. And then we get to the New Testament. When we read in Mark, a man called Jesus preaching. And he says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." The king has come, Jesus, to renew all that was lost in the beginning. I'm just going to pause here. Does someone want to get me a drink? A little bit. Yeah, Mike. Cheers, Mike. A little bit parched. So you might already know this, but right now we're living in what is called the now and the not yet of the kingdom. That is to say that the long promised Jesus has come and he's brought his kingdom, but we are not fully there. Okay? We're not fully there in the kingdom. The kingdom hasn't come in all its fullness. The kingdom is here, but it's not fully here yet. And so these two things are going to shape how we are to pray, your kingdom come. So, first of all, praying your kingdom come, firstly, means praying that God will bring his rule and reign upon the hearts of the lost. Cheers, Mike. And then secondly, we're going to see praying God's kingdom come means, Lord, bring your... Secondly, we're praying that God will bring his rule and reign by bringing heaven to us. Okay? Just going to have a drink, sorry. Better. So we see this in our verses today, Matthew 13. So I don't know if you have them open with you. Jesus here, the King, is teaching us about the nature of the kingdom of God. Verse 24, verse 31, verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like. So Jesus is teaching about his kingdom. And notice with all these parables, the parable of the weeds, the parable of the wheat, the mustard seed, the parable of the leaven, they all refer to present growth, present spread, to make the point that now the kingdom of God is a growing kingdom. It is like a mustard seed. It's seemingly small, seemingly insignificant, a feeble beginning, but yet when it's planted, when the seed dies, when the seed takes root, it grows and grows and grows and grows into something big. He says you take a tiny piece of leaven, and that tiny piece of leaven in the bread can work its way through the dough. It's a growing kingdom. It's also a kingdom that grows alongside a different kingdom. Another kingdom. For a period of time, the kingdom of God is growing, but it also grows alongside another kingdom. We see that in the parable of the weeds. Verses 24 to 30, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man, a farmer, who goes into his field, plants good seed. He plants good seed, goes to bed, he's done his job. In the night, some annoying enemy comes in, plants some other seeds that are weeds. Weeds that look very much like the wheat. And you're thinking, why? How annoying is that? So the servants go, well, do you want us... They start to grow, and the servants say, oh, do you want us to come and take out these weeds? Do you want us to get rid of them for you? And the guy who owns the field says, no, 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 leave it. Leave it till the harvest time. I'll do it then. We'll bundle it up then, and we'll get rid of the weeds, and we'll store the wheat in the barn. One field, two sowers, two seeds producing two very different crops with two very different outcomes. But just look at verse 37 and 43, because Jesus explains this to us. The one who sows the seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. Two different outcomes in verse 40. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out the kingdom. Everything that causes sin and all who do evil, they will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their fathers. Whoever has ears, let them hear. One field, two sowers, two seeds, two different crops with two very different outcomes. So what does this mean for our prayer life? It means for our prayer life that as we live alongside the other kingdom, as we live alongside the weeds, we're praying for the growth of the kingdom, the spread of the gospel, that more people will come to know and understand Jesus and understand what it means to be in the kingdom. We are praying that God would come to people so that they understand what it means to be in the kingdom, that God would bring his rule and reign in the hearts of those who are not in. Those people who are weeds. It doesn't seem very nice, but these are the people who, like the one who sowed them, has set up a defense against the kingdom of God. They don't want God. They don't want anything to do with him. And in fact, they want to overthrow. They want to take charge of the field. And so that's why their end is so drastic. So we're praying, Lord, bring your kingdom. Grow your kingdom as we live alongside, side by side. Bring your kingdom. Grow your kingdom. Lord, may your kingdom come. So secondly, we pray your kingdom come means, well, praying your kingdom come means bringing his rule and reign by saving people and the spread of the gospel, but it also means praying for heaven. Lord, bring your rule and reign by bringing heaven. See, there is a time when God's going to send out his harvesters. And as sobering as that is, as challenging as that is, that God will come in judgment and anger, and he will put an end to all that's wrong and evil and wicked in the world and get rid of it once for all, it's also a glorious thought, because at that point, we will be home. That's when he will bring his kingdom to us. That's when we will be transformed and changed and live forever. And that's our home. That's where we belong. Philippians 2:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we belong. And we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is when all wrongs will be no more. When all wrongs will be made right, where there will be no more pain, where there will be no more suffering, no more tears, no more sickness, no more death, no more sin, no more evil, no more wickedness, no more falling in temptations, no more drifting or wandering away, no more groaning, no more mourning, no more bereavements, but a life eternal that shines in the perfection of the Son of God. All is healed. All is restored. A life that is back to the way it was meant to be and more. When heaven comes, verse 43, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I don't know if you've seen the program DIY SOS. Nick Knowles and his team, they enter a house, and often the family is suffering in some way. They don't have their needs met. They can't quite afford the resources that they need. Their home is just completely impractical. And so what they do is they send them off, and over the course of roughly a week, maybe more, they completely transform their home, don't they? And their house. And it's such an emotional program, isn't it? And we're all waiting for that moment, aren't we, throughout? We're all waiting for that moment where they bring them back and the stud, and you're just waiting for them to just open their eyes and see the work that they've done and the transformation that still took place. And it gets you, doesn't it? I mean, what joy it brings that, you know, what life it brings and what hope it brings and what joy it brings to these people in these situations. Well, how much more will the moment be? I mean, just picture it. Yeah, just dwell on it this morning. How much more will it be like to have the harvester, or one of the angels come up to you and say, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to see God? That the kingdom that you've been praying for. The king's here. Everything's okay. The new heaven, the new earth, bliss, just as it was supposed to be. There's a hope. The other day we were chatting at work, me and Matty, about the hymn Amazing Grace, and the line where it says, when we've been there 10,000 years, does someone want to say, someone else want to say, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And we were just sort of saying, imagine on the 10,000th year, someone says, remember that song? Remember that song that we used to sing? And then Matty just says, it's quite a crazy thought, that, isn't it? Quite a crazy thought. How good is that going to be? I mean, of course, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is something that is so precious and so amazing. It should be dear to our hearts. But what, in 10,000 years, all those worries that we've had, all those struggles that we've had, all the world's problems, what will we think of them then? 10,000 years' time, when we're bright shining as the sun. We're going to still sing God's praise in his kingdom. Lord, may your kingdom come. Would you bring your kingdom? Would you bring an end to all the strife, to all the trouble, to all the hardship? Would you bring your kingdom to us? So in closing, let's just think of your scenarios. You know your life, you know your situations, you know your circumstances. How are you going to pray, Lord, may your kingdom come, let your will be done? I do have some examples. I'm not going to go there. You know your life, you know what's going on in your life, and the kingdom of God. Let's pray your kingdom come. Let's pray for the salvation of our work colleagues, of our friends, of our families. And no matter what situation they are in, we can pray your kingdom come. Your will be done. So the kingdom of God is a pretty big idea. It's a pretty big thing. And it should be in our hearts. And it should be in our minds. It should be on our lingo. And most importantly, it should be what we long for. And it should be in our prayers. So Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. Amen. Well, we're going to stand again. We're going to sing. If I can find my other sheets. We're going to sing a song that really echoes something of what we heard. Lord, bring your kingdom. We want to see more and more people love Jesus and become Christians, and so that they can have the same hope, they can have the same eternal life that we have to look forward to. So let's stand together and let's sing, Let Your Kingdom Come.